This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's the Now News Panel on AMI. I'm Dave Brown, joined by Joita Gupta and Michelle McQuigg. We've got a few more topics to cap off this panel. We could even call it a nightcap, if you will. Montreal is going to have a 29-hour nonstop festival this weekend with alcohol service and music going the whole time. At the same time, the city is exploring the idea of expanding service hours in the city and maybe even creating a zone in the downtown core that would have extended alcohol service, potentially even 24 hours a day. No last call in Montreal. Joita, what do you think of the idea of creating a little Vegas strip or a Bourbon Street or an Ocean Drive in Montreal?
Remember, I've been cooped up at home for about 2 years now, so I'm going to go with the rather controversial, why not? I mean, if it doesn't hurt anyone, there will be, I'm sure, a lot of consultation done to make sure that there isn't an excessive amount of noise or public intoxication or other problems with littering. But, you know, it is a way to give a much-needed jolt to the nightlife and restaurants and bars in Montreal. That sector has really struggled during the pandemic. So if you were to ask me why they're doing this right now, it's pretty clear to me why they're doing this right now. And I don't think I've heard of anything like this before. And so I'd be interested to see how it actually plays out. It is just a pilot program. I kind of like the idea of trying it out to see how it goes. And mind you, like I said, I've been cooped up at home, so maybe that's impaired my judgment on this a little bit.
Anyone who's ever partied in Montreal will already tell you there's something of a 24-hour culture, but we don't need to get too deep. We don't need to get too deep into that. Michelle, what do you make of the idea of turning Montreal into a little Las Vegas strip, or maybe a little portion of downtown into a Las Vegas strip?
Kind of confirm that in some senses it wouldn't feel like that much of a stretch from the status quo. I'm kind of with Joita. I'd say, why not? I mean, in my kind of get off my lawn moment for the day, I would say that if I was buying housing in Montreal, I probably wouldn't choose to purchase one right near that. If that were to take place. But I do think that that's my choice. I'm not trying to be a NIMBY. It's just something it would be a factor in my decision. But I do think it's kind of a cool idea. And I don't see the harm in it personally.
Yeah, I think anybody who already lives at like St. Laurent and Pine Avenue already senses the nightclubs are going till 3 a.m. anyway. So what's a few more hours, right? You probably got the noise proofing up already. Guys, I'm going to let you maybe like yell at me a teensy bit here because I want to share a quick thought, because the city is going to be spending $2.1 million on consulting and studies. I know we always talk about the importance of meaningful consultation, but in this case, doesn't it seem like a little bit unnecessary? It kind of feels like this is one where you're in or you're out. So Joita, I give you a brief opportunity to tell me, Dave, we need to do consultations.
Well, I mean, yeah, of course we need to do consultations. And if it's any consolation, we were just talking about inflation in the first segment. 2 years ago, that consultation would have probably cost a lot less, but that's neither here nor there. The purpose isn't to establish whether you're in or out, Dave. The purpose is to establish how many people are in or out. Because the thing with Vegas is, and I say this because I visited Vegas, Vegas is an interesting, kind of weird place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there. In fact, a lot of people who work in Vegas don't actually live in that downtown strip. You know,
casino,
casino, Elvis Chapel, casino, casino. Nobody actually lives there. And so that's the idea that I think local residents do need to have their say to figure out if this is something they want becoming a permanent or semi-permanent feature of their city. And, you know, if it gives the economy that much needed jolt we were talking about, maybe other Canadian cities will pick it up. So I'll certainly keep an eye on it.
That's really well put. Michelle, do you want to add anything to my notion of like maybe hiring 20-year-old nightlife consultants might be a little waste of money?
I mean,
in my 20s, I could have done it. I don't know if in my 30s I can. I think I would be like, it's too loud. That's my consultation.
I was
going to
say, I'm not sure how unbiased you'd have been. But anyway, I do see some value in some consultations. I'm kind of with Joita in that it matters about determining how many people are in or out. And I think it also, there always needs to be an eye towards unintended consequences. And there may be things that emerge in the course of consultations that need to be considered. Is there going to be an increase in the amount of like smoke in the area, for instance? Noise, obviously, is one. Traffic. There's going to be considerations that need to be made. Decisions that will have to be taken at the city level, probably. So I do see some value in consultations, but you're already building on a pretty well-established foundation, so you don't need to reinvent the wheel.
Excellent. Okay, guys, let's go over to Saskatchewan for a quick conversation about alcohol in parks. Earlier in the week, the government proposed an amendment that would have opened the door to allow drinking in public parks. The opposition pushed back. The amendment did not receive unanimous support, and therefore the conversation is now pushed back to the fall session. Similar pilot projects have been tried all over Alberta. I know Toronto is messing around with the idea of legalized drinking in parks. I mean, it's already happening in parks. If you've ever been to a park in Toronto, people are already drinking. Guys, instead of going into the do you outright object to this concept, can I just offer up a couple caveats that I would say that comes with my approval, and then you can react to my caveats?
Please. Yeah.
Okay. So my approval comes with strings attached. I want improved bathroom access so people aren't doing their business all over the park. In the short term, that means porta potties. In the long term, that means investing in proper, accessible bathroom facilities. I would also want proper availability of garbage, recycling, compost bins within the park. I want more picnic tables, gazebos, treed, and comfortable covered areas. I'd be open to banning glass bottles. I'd also be open to creating non-alcohol section areas around perhaps like the playground for kids, kind of how they do like family-friendly zones at arenas, ballparks, etc. And I think there would need to be some kind of understanding of a curfew for safety reasons. So, Joita, you've got about a minute and a half to react to my caveats.
Your caveats all make a lot of sense. I hadn't even thought about the glass bottle issue, so that was really good that you picked up on it. No, I think it's a great idea. And remember, allowing people to drink in parks, A, legalizes what we all know happens anyways, and B, brings Canada in line with much of the world where it is perfectly okay to drink a glass of wine or a bottle of beer with your picnic. So it's not, there is a big difference between having a glass of wine with your meal and having a wild party, which obviously, as I said before, we can avoid. I'd like to avoid public intoxication, but
yes,
there's a big,
fair.
Big difference there.
Michelle, any reactions to my caveats or maybe ones that you'd add?
I'm a strong signatory of the Dave Brown Park Plan. I like it. I like all the caveats. I think they make sense. I think the infrastructure needs to be there. But I do think opposing drinking in parks is a pretty short-sighted approach. It stands to stigmatize some people. And as Joita said, it already tries to sort of criminalize things that happen already and in a largely fairly harmless context.
And oftentimes the people who get targeted end up being young people or other marginalized people that are going to get picked on typically by police. Joita, sorry, I didn't give you the chance to actually say if you wanted to add any caveats to my addendums.
I think the only caveat that I would add is something that restricts public intoxication. We already have those rules in place. And that's really about it. Maybe you could ban hard liquor, like whatever, whiskey and scotch, but beer and wine should be fine. But that's, maybe I'm just nitpicking.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's fair. It's fair though, right? Like, it's fair to consider this issue is not like super simple, that there are some complications. There probably is going to be an extra increase in some form of security. I know that I used to work in a park. That's what I did for a living in my late teens and early 20s. I was a park attendant for the city of Westmount. And part of our job was to make sure that, like, even if people were drinking in parks, to kind of make sure they weren't like smashing up the park or starting fights or harassing people. So, you know, it kind of comes with the territory. But I think overall, as you mentioned, Joita, it's really in line with the way the majority of the rest of the world handles public drinking. Michelle, last thought to you.
Yeah, I guess just going back to the idea of harmonizing, I feel you wouldn't be able to really adequately have these conversations in Canada anymore without also factoring cannabis. So,
oh, yeah, for sure.
While you're at it, you know. Tackle them both.
Like, you can drink in this park, you can't smoke cannabis, but you can smoke cannabis on the street, but can't drink on the street. I'm confused. Like,
time for a bit of alignment there.
Time for a teensy bit of alignment. And maybe one day we can talk about legalizing mushrooms on the show too, but that will not be today.
Right.
Michelle, you have a nice weekend, even though I know you're working through the long weekend. Thank you for your service.
My pleasure. Have a great long weekend, everybody.
And Joita, you enjoy what I believe is an actual long weekend.
Yes, it is. Enjoy your long weekend.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.